What's up, guys? We Cover Spread Podcast. Chris Teresi here. Gonna talk. We got Championship Sunday. Got Chad Nova with me. Chad, what's going on, bro?
What's up, man? How's everybody doing? Championship Sunday, huge week in football. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain. You know, trying to make some money this weekend. Hopefully, we can help the listeners out. Give them some leans or picks or whatever for Championship Sunday. Talk a little college hoops.
Nice, let's do it.
All right, so I guess waste no time as always. We'll hop right in it. First game I want your opinion on. Ravens heading up to Foxborough to face the Hoodie and Brady and the Patriots. Right now looking at a total of around 50 pretty much, and the Patriots laying about a touchdown anywhere you look.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game. I've already made a play on this game. The other game I just kind of have a lean on. This game I have a play. I played the Ravens +7.5. I think the number's off a little bit. If these two teams met in a neutral site, I'd have it close to a pick 'em. So even if I give 3, 4, even 5 to Patriots at home, 7.5 is just a little too high for me. I think the number's off. I took it. I think it's just a great number to have in the playoffs. Anything over a touchdown when you're dealing with a great defensive team in a game like this is definitely the way to go. It's definitely my strongest play of the week. The bottom line is a lot of people are scared of Flacco, especially after you see his performance last week, especially after it's known that he's not Aaron Rodgers, he's not Peyton Manning, he's not an elite quarterback yet. However, the Texans, you know, they were in the top 5 of all defensive categories, and now he faced the Patriots, who are in the bottom 5 of all defensive categories. So I think it's going to be a huge difference. I think Flacco is going to have time to throw. I think Ray Rice is going to eat up that Patriots defense. And at the same time, I'm sure Brady will keep up. So I kind of see a shootout. I see the Ravens coming up on end with Brady actually throwing some interceptions and not looking as good as he has looked. And the Patriots kind of coming down to earth. I can't believe they're the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. I can't believe they're that much of a favorite to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're that much better than the other three teams left in the playoffs. That being said, I think Ravens is a big play of mine, and I'm interested to hear what you think.
Yeah, I mean, you know my opinion. I said it last week. I said the Patriots are not a championship team. I don't think they have the defense to be a championship team. When you're giving up 400 yards a game, you know, you're giving up almost 4.5 yards per carry. You're giving up over 7 yards per attempt. That's not the makeup of you know, I know the league has changed, but to me, that's just not really the makeup of a championship defense. And I think the line is slightly, I guess, over-adjusted. I think off of the Broncos were such a public team. They became such a public team with all the media hype surrounding Tim Tebow. And the way the Patriots dismantled them, you know, books aren't going to play around. They know, okay, they're not dumb. They knew we were going to take New England money on Sunday. If they would have opened this, like you said, around 4 or 5, where the number probably should have opened, it would have just been so lopsided with Patriot money. They try to open it at 7, 7.5 to just kind of, you know, get some sharp money in there because they know they're going to be very exposed come Sunday with New England money, especially in parlays and teasers. And even you're going to see a lot of recreational bettors just betting the side too, something they don't normally do. But they'll be taking the Patriots, especially seeing them beat a team like Denver, who they all thought could pull an upset last week. And you know, like we said last week, we didn't think that Denver really had a shot in that game. And I look at this game, I think Baltimore is live. I can make a case for them definitely to win this game. I think they can win this game, but a lot of it depends on Cam Cameron and how Baltimore, you know, utilizes Ray Rice in this game. If they you know, give him 10 carries, Baltimore probably won't win this game. If they try to play a shootout with New England, they may not win. They may not cover. If they ground and pound with Ray Rice, I think, which they can do against a Patriots defense giving up over 4 yards per carry, Ray Rice is a way step up in class from Willis McGahee, not taking anything away from him. I think Flacco's a step up in class from Tebow, obviously. I think Baltimore has it there. It just depends on how they kind of play call this game. If they give Rice 20, 25 carries, I think Baltimore's good. I think Baltimore can win this game. I think they have the better defense. You're getting a touchdown with the better defense, something we always like to talk about when you're getting points with the better defense. But there's something about Flacco in these big games. Sometimes he doesn't show up. This Harbaugh, the Baltimore coach, for me, I've noticed over the years, sometimes in big games, he doesn't make the best of calls, and I see him frustrated on the sidelines at times. And if he gets down early, I wonder how that will affect him and his team. But then again, you know, there's another negative working against Baltimore with the whole Ed Reed, Joe Flacco comments. But I think that, you know, a veteran like Ray Lewis probably step in between that and have that the locker room, you know, ready to go come Sunday. But I think you can make a stronger case for Baltimore in this game. Bottom line, you're getting a touchdown with the better defense here, and you know, an over-adjusted line. So I think if you're going to look at it, you got to look at Baltimore. And I think if you got to look at the total, I've said it all year, New England's such an over team, but it's kind of weird because if you like Baltimore, you're thinking they're going to ground and pound and keep it to a lower scoring game. So that's kind of where I'm a little torn on the total. I know some early money has come in toward the over, and New England's just a team I don't want to bet toward the under, and a lot of people don't realize this, but Baltimore's been an over team as well. They've 10 of their 17 games have went over, despite them being known for a really good defense. So the way I look at it is, you know, the over, I can't bet it under, so I guess you got to look over. But it's kind of weird, if you like the over, you're taking Baltimore in this spot. But I guess that's the way I got to look at it.
Yeah, you make some great points, especially with the play calling of the Ravens and the head coach. If the Patriots didn't rate so high on head coaching and quarterback, you know, the Ravens would be a clear favorite in this game. It's just those two aspects. The Patriots are just off the charts. And that is the one part that scares me, you know, the coaching and Brady. And sometimes the Ravens coaching can be subpar, especially the play calling aspect. But, you know, like you said, the bottom line is when you're taking a touchdown and a half with a better defense, and you talk about the public, which way they're viewing it. And I think this week in the Super Bowl, the most two public bets for people that usually don't bet on football, they start betting, you know, right around now and then bet on the Super Bowl. And if they were watching last week, they saw the Ravens on the 1 yard line not be able to punch it in. Made bettors very mad at the Ravens. And sometimes people get too emotional and they have a hard time taking a team that screwed them the week before. And that's why I see a lot of casual Joes, a lot of people I talk to, love the Patriots. You know, and they are the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and they say they're going to kill the Ravens just like they killed the Broncos. And that's kind of your average Joe thinking. And to give you kind of an update on, sharp move, Ravens opened up +8 at one of my local books, who's a real sharp book. He went down to 7.5 within a day, and now it's only at 7. And that just says a lot for the favorite to win the Super Bowl going down a point within a couple of days. You could find some 7.5s around, but the fact that one of the sharper books I know is only down to 7 just says a lot about the sharp money coming in on the Ravens.
It does. I mean, out here we opened 7.5, and I mean, within, you know, hours we were at 7. You know, so it just disappeared really quick. And you made a great point with bettors. They get frustrated with the team, and casual bettors are quick to hop on a team, and once that team loses for them, it's like they're, oh man, you know, screw that team, and they're going to bet the other way. A lot of them lost. A lot of casual bettors took the points with Denver last week. They believed in the Tebow hype. A lot of them took Baltimore. So they're going to just automatically, that was a great point you made, because they're going to automatically say, you know what, you know, New England made money last week, Baltimore didn't. We're going to hop on New England in this spot. And that's kind of the mind frame of a casual bettor. And the books know that. Sports books know that. And that's why I think you've seen this line open the way it did. And I totally agree with you. I think that it's an over-adjusted number, and you're actually getting a couple of points of value with Baltimore. It's hard to pass that up.
Nice. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yes, yeah, so that pretty much wraps up. Do you lean anyway on the total on this game, or?
You know, I would lean over. It's just a really tough number. You know, every time I play this game out, I see both teams in the 20s. And since I see the Ravens covering/winning outright, I definitely see a game in the 20s. So the only score I'm looking at that would cover the over is 28-24. when in more reality, I see 27-21, 28-21, something like that would actually give a bad beat to the over. So, you know, my lean actually would be right around that number. I think it's about right. So I don't even really have a lean. I don't want to, you know, jade listeners one way or the other.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree because, I mean, it's going to be hard. Only San Diego's the only team to put up 30 points or more on Baltimore all year. So it definitely be difficult for the Patriots, I think, in this spot to hit 30. So I think the over, you know, everything points that way. It's so hard to bet Patriots under, but it's a tougher total out of the two games, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Next game we got up on the boards, the NFC Championship game, the Giants and 49ers. You're looking at the 49ers laying about 2.5 pretty much across the board, total 42.5, depending on where you shop. What's your take on this game from a West Coast perspective?
You know, from a West Coast perspective, everybody out here is starting to jump on the Niners bandwagon, especially I know a lot of people up in San Francisco. Similar to when the Giants won the World Series a couple of years ago, San Francisco is a great town, a great sports town. It's a small city. When a sports team does good, it just resonates through the whole city. And since it's so small, there's just a lot of Niner spirit going around. I have some family that lives up there. There's just everybody talking about the Niners. Everybody so excited to have a playoff game. I think the cheapest ticket is $400 or $500 for nosebleed. It's just going to be a great event. And because of that, and because of their defense, I lean the Niners at home. That being said, I want to advise the listeners that I'm not making a play on this. I think the number's about right. To me, you got the Giants, which is the hottest team coming into the playoffs, who just beat the defending world champs last week. Too many things are going right with them. They get a lot of lucky breaks. They get a lot of long touchdown passes, a lot of long third down receptions. There's just too many things going right for them for me to go against them right now. That being said, the Niners' defense is on another level that the Giants have faced all year. The Niners showed it last year with all the fumbles. People were talking a lot of stuff about the Saints, about how they can't hold on to the ball and all the fumbles. You know, if you watch the game film, a lot of those hits were extremely hard hits, and that's why they fumbled. And the Niners, and I've been saying it all year, I'm not in love with Alex Smith, but I'm in love with their running game, with their defense, especially their linebacker core. They have some of the best linebackers in the league, and when they hit you, they make sure they know it. So that being said, if Cruz gets hit maybe one time and Bradshaw gets hit one time, it's really going to affect the Giants, and I love that Niners D. So I have a very strong lean towards the Niners, -2, -2.5. Obviously, anything over a field goal. It's just weird. I can't go against the hottest team in the playoff. I know you're a New York guy, so I want to hear what you say about the Giants. It's just interesting game on my side. I lean the Niners. What do you think?
I look at this. I honestly feel the Giants are, you know, not biased, but I feel they're a little more balanced. 49ers defense is, to me, an amazing group, a great group. Probably, I have to say, the best defense in the league. All around, like secondary linebackers, Patrick Willis, the front four, they could get pressure on Manning here. So, you know, I think the 49ers defense, I watched that game. I watched the tape over again with the first meeting between the Giants and the 49ers. 49ers definitely gave the Giants some problems in that game. The way the defense matched up gave the Giants problems, and that definitely worries me in this spot. The Giants have been good in years past, you know, playing a team for the second time after they lost the first time, and we've seen it with the Packers this year. We've seen it with, you know, with the Patriots in the big Super Bowl back in 2007. So the Giant Coughlin is pretty good. I think somebody else was talking about it yesterday, too, where Coughlin did the same thing with Jacksonville a couple times. He's good in these really big roles to kind of pull off an upset, getting his team prepared, you know, the second time around against a team. They kind of learn from what they didn't do right in the first game. But I think the Giants, I watched the first game over and over again yesterday, clips of it at a meeting in the last week. And, Yeah, you know, the Giants were leading going into that fourth quarter, and they just made a couple of turnover mistakes. I know that's all it takes, but they outgained the 49ers in that game. Passing, running, they definitely shut down Gore. I know Gore wasn't 100% in that game, but he had 6 carries for 0 yards. I think 49ers, if you want to back them in this game, I think you need Gore to have a big game, because I think the Giants can get some pressure on Smith in this game. I don't think Smith is going to have a miraculous game like he had last week against the Saints. They're not going to throw a shootout here. I think Harbaugh is going to do the complete opposite of what he did last week against the Saints, where it was kind of a high-scoring game, a shootout. I think he knows we got to keep this game like field position, low-scoring field goals, whatever, touchdown, like low-scoring game, ground and pound with Gore and Hunter, and keep it simple for Smith so he doesn't get sacked or, stuff like that, throw some bad picks. I think that they got to keep it vanilla, and I think the huge edge for the 49ers in this game, to me, which scares me, and I remember Bill Parcells used to always talk about this, is special teams. It's the most overlooked, part of the football. And when you have a kicker like the 49ers have, who's probably one of the most underrated kickers, and they have the best punter in football, the average starting field position for the Giants, when the 49ers say if the Giants defense can get the 49ers off the field, it's not going to be good. So the Giants are going to really have to drive the field on the road against the best defense in football. And that worries me a little bit. That it's not going to be easy at all for the Giants in this spot. And I can make cases for the Giants. Like I said, I feel they're more balanced overall. I feel they have better wide receivers by a little bit. Not even by a little bit. I think by quite a bit. I'm not impressed by Crabtree look last week. Or really all season. He's kind of been up and down. I think the running backs are kind of even. I think Eli's the better quarterback. I think the Giants defense is healthier this time around than the first game. They didn't have Boley in that first game, who was the defensive play caller. And you know me, I've been high on Boley. When Boley doesn't play, I don't back the Giants. I actually fade the Giants. So Boley's here. Boley's healthy. And they got Bradshaw this game, who wasn't there the first game. And the Giants front four is healthy this time, where they weren't healthy that first game. So it's kind of going to be this is a full Giants team that wasn't a full Giants team the first time around. So I can make that case for them. It's a tougher game. It really is. I think it's a lower scoring game. I think this game is going to be a real, not like a 15-10 type of game, 16-10, but I think this game kind of creeps toward the under. I lean the under in this game, and it's a tight game, tough game to call the side.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the best points you make is a revenge factor. They lost to him 2 months ago. And in any sport, that's always huge. It's hard to beat a team 2 or 3 times in a row, especially in the playoffs on this level. And then, like you said, if you look at that game, you took the words right out of my mouth. Bradshaw and Boley were out. I know how high you are on Boley. I'm that high on Bradshaw and that low on Jacobs. I think Jacobs is not a number one running back. I think he fumbles a lot. He's slow. As big as he is, I don't like him. I think Bradshaw is the key, and I think you gave the listeners a stat last week about when the Giants get 100 yards rushing, how good they are. And last time they played the Niners, they only got 93. Yet they outgained the Niners by about 100 yards last time they played them. And like you said, some careless turnovers. So when you look at it from that aspect, you got to lean the Giants a little bit. And like you said, the head receiving core is just turning out play after play, week after week, which is very tough to go against. They have a very talented receiver core. And that's why, personally, I'm not really going to make play on this. Teasers, I talked about teasers last week. It's kind of hard to tease in the playoffs, but I know some big money on the Giants with a teaser, getting more than a touchdown with them, kind of feeling very comfortable that
yeah, I agree. I think the Giants, you gotta look at them in the teaser, window. If you could tease the Giants up across, a touchdown here, that's kind of a no-brainer. I think if I like the teaser, I know how you say you don't like to tease the playoffs, and I'm kind of, I agree with that. It's tough to tease the playoffs, but I think the Giants are a good teaser to cross. You get them across 7, And, you know, if you look at the total, I think if you could tease this thing up to 48, you know, 48.5, you're crossing a bunch of key numbers on both the side and the total, and the Giants and the unders are a good teaser. I like that teaser a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so it's a tougher game. You know, I think the Giants can win it. I see, no matter what, I see if the Patriots beat the Ravens, both of these teams are going to beat the Patriots. I think both these teams can beat the Patriots next week. That's for sure. If the Ravens make it, it's going to be interesting, you know. But I kind of like both these teams against it. I know the AFC, a lot of people talk AFC this, that. Kind of like both of these teams against both of those AFC teams. What's your feel like if we say, you know, either one of these teams make it against either the other two teams out of the AFC? Who do you like better, NFC or AFC, going into the Super Bowl?
You know what? I would say the Giants or the Niners, just because the Giants are the hottest team, and I still think Niners have the best defense out of the four. But I'm really hoping the Ravens win, and that would make it real tough. I'm rooting for the Harbaugh Bowl. I'm rooting for Niners-Ravens and for the Niners to take it all. That's my gut instinct, but it's really tough. It's like the Giants and Niners sides. There's so many people betting on it, and just the fact that there's two games, you don't have to bet on these games. I don't see much value on either team. Like you said, you can kind of make a case for either the Giants or the Niners, and I think the Super Bowl is going to be a similar case, that you could make a case for both teams. When it comes down to it, it's probably going to be smart to take the underdog. And to me, if the Niners get in, I think they're going to be a slight underdog no matter who they play. So that's why I'm kind of leaning that route.
Yeah, I was talking with, actually, we were in a meeting yesterday, and I had a guy in there who works with the local shops, and he was telling me, if the Niners make it, you hit it on the head, they're going to be a dog against either team. If they play Baltimore, I think he said they're going to be about a one-point dog probably open up. And I forget exact number he said on the Patriots, but they're going to be a dog against the Patriots as well. I can't remember if he said 4.5 or 4. I think it was 4.5 or something like that. But there'll be a dog. Interesting enough, I think there'll be a heck of a live dog in the Super Bowl. And that'll be good for Vegas because, you know, out there, you guys are pretty close to, San Francisco's close to Vegas or whatever. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of 49ers money flowing in. From what I spoke to guys who work at shops in Vegas, they said they expect a lot of 49ers money coming in Sunday.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Completely agree with that.
So that's big. And then it's weird because here in New York, it's the complete opposite. Talk to the guys at the local shops here, and it's like, you know, it's going to be straight Giants money. So it's funny how, region can definitely affect the book, you know, as far as on the especially on the local book scene, you know. So definitely an interesting look on it. We got, you know, New York books will probably be rooting for the 49ers here, and a lot of Vegas, you know, corporate books are saying they're rooting for the 49ers too, because they know the handle that'll come through there on Super Bowl Sunday. All the 49ers fans from California will be booking trips into Vegas to watch a game. So that'll be good for kind of the Vegas economy and Vegas sports books and stuff. So,
yeah, definitely. I agree.
Yep. So that kind of wraps that up. I guess we could talk a little bit of college, a little bit of college basketball. Now, this is before none of the lines have been released yet, but I got some numbers from a guy who works at a local shop, and, you know, they may be about a point or two. They'll probably be within a point or two of the opening number. And I guess we could talk a couple of the bigger an interesting game, I guess, we'll talk about to start it off is, you know, a game everybody wants to talk about probably would be the Missouri-Baylor game. Do you have any lean or opinion on this game with Baylor coming off of such a bad loss? Do you think they bounce back here and really give it to Missouri? You think Missouri matches up with them tough and gives them problems, or kind of no opinion on the game?
No, I do have an opinion on this game. I like Baylor. I was actually on Baylor's side when they lost. They were a 7-point underdog in their last game, and I think they ended up losing by 20 or something. I do like them to bounce back. They have a huge size advantage over Missouri. They got the home court. They got coming off a loss. I think it all adds up for a Baylor win, personally. Did you have a projected line on this game?
He's telling me he thinks it's going to open around Baylor minus 4.
Yeah, I have it at 5.5. So, I don't have not too much value, but I definitely think Baylor has some size matchups that they can take advantage of. And Missouri, to me, is more of a scoring team. I don't think they have a great interior defense, and I think Baylor didn't obviously had one of their worst games of the year. They couldn't make a layup. They couldn't make free throws. They really looked horrible against Kansas last game. So I think they come out, and I would expect them to get the cover.
Yeah, I agree with that side there. I think Baylor has a lot of problems size interior-wise going up against, you know, Missouri here. They're going to cause some issues. I was on Kansas in that game there. But this is a game here I think Baylor kind of bounces back. And you look at Missouri, they've only covered 17 of their last 56 road games. So not a great road team if you look at their against the spread long-term history here. I know Missouri, I think they've covered the last four meetings here, but I think Baylor is going to be pretty pissed off in this game. And I don't know, Missouri, they're just a small team. I know they're a scrappy team, but I think they're so small. I could see them that working against them and this game kind of playing out. Like, we've seen them lose by, like, I think 14 to Kansas State. If Baylor blew them out here, it definitely wouldn't shock me a bit.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's see. Let's get another game up here. Here goes another, you know, pretty interesting game because we've seen this team play really good. Florida State has been kind of under the radar, but not really anymore. They're kind of on the radar against a public, you know, very public team like Duke. We're looking over here. We're thinking this thing opens around somewhere in the range between, he said, around between 6 and 8. Duke laying between 6 and 8 points on Saturday against Florida State.
My personal number is 8. I think that's about right. I probably won't make play on this game. I've been noticing Duke is having a lot of problems in the first half. I love analyzing first half and second half stats in hoops, college and NBA. And they're really struggling in the first half, and they come out and dominate the second half. So I wouldn't make a play on Florida State. I think the number's about right. I could see Duke winning by 10, right around that number. However, I do see Florida State sticking tough, especially for the first half. So if you guys like first half plays, I would definitely lean, you know, if you can get like a 4, 4.5 for the first half, Florida State, I think they keep within a couple possessions for at least the first 15, 20 minutes. That would be my opinion.
I like that, too. I think so, too. I think you can see Florida State hang around for probably the first half here. Then, you know, Duke, it's a tough court to play on. You go in there, they could definitely fold up, you know, later on in the second half of this game. Duke could definitely kind of get it going. But I agree with that one there. I'd definitely give a nod toward Florida State first half. I like that. Let's see, another game on here that'll be pretty big. Well, this will be a big one on the West Coast. New Mexico coming off of a bad performance. I know I was on them against San Diego State, took a hit on that one. They'll be traveling out to UNLV. He's telling me you'll probably see UNLV open about a 6-point favorite against New Mexico at home. Any opinion on that game?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of interesting that I wish New Mexico would have won last game. You know, I definitely think, especially in college basketball, that revenge factor or the coming off a loss factor is a lot bigger than any other sport when you're dealing with college basketball. And like you said, New Mexico got absolutely embarrassed at home, and now they face a top 20 team getting points. It might be an interesting look to take New Mexico in the points. They're a very talented team, and kind of similar to what we were talking about, the Patriots and Ravens. You know, you see the public get upset with a team and kind of abandon them right away. As much as I love UNLV, and I do pretty much agree with their ranking, I do have them in the top 25, close to 20 where they have them. So it is a tough game. It's not New Mexico money line. It's not New Mexico lock. But the fact that they're just so embarrassed, I got to lean their way in the points.
I agree. I think, you know, I love this UNLV team, but like you said, this is a spot here. Could be a classic, like, New Mexico kind of bounce back spot here, to, you know, coming off such a horrible showing at home. And if you look here, they play. This is always a really tight game, a tight series. You look at last year's meetings, both were decided. One was decided by 3 points in overtime, where UNLV won on the road. And you look at the game here in Vegas, they only won by 1 point. as a 9.5-point favorite against New Mexico. So New Mexico definitely gets up for this. This is definitely kind of a rivalry game, and I think I agree your way here. I gotta look at New Mexico, especially if the public comes in heavy on UNLV, knowing how New Mexico played. This line hit 7, key number 7.5. I think you gotta kind of look at New Mexico in this spot.
Yeah, definitely. You make a good point. I would, as good as New Mexico is, I would probably wait, thinking the line would drive up before the game with UNLV money.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I think definitely you got to wait before tip-off, because UNLV will probably see some definite public money in this spot here. Another game that's kind of it could be an interesting game. It's kind of a big 10 matchup. You got Purdue, who's been a team kind of up and down this year. They've showed spots where they can be really good. Sometimes they're not. They'll be playing Michigan State, probably a heavy, heavy road dog. He's telling me he thinks this line opens up around 9.
Wow, that seems a little inflated, actually. That's a little higher than my number. I do like Michigan State, and I've had a hard time reading Purdue. Let me see. I have it at 7, so I do see some value in Purdue, and they have impressed me throughout the year. However, Michigan State, I have them in the top 10 in my power rankings for the whole nation. I said it last week. I think they're going to make some noise during tournament time. I think they're very talented inside and out. Obviously, head coach, they're rating off the charts. So I don't know. I'm not going to pick Purdue, but if it does come out at 9 or 10, that might seem a little high. What do you think?
Yeah, I think double digits, you know, with a conference game, a double-digit dog, you got to take a look at them, definitely. If it hits 10, you got to look at them. I think 9-2 is definitely, you know, worth a shot. You got to look at Hummel here. I mean, he's a good player, Lewis Jackson, you know, Ryan Smith. It's a good team, a good Purdue team. They just seem to, you know, sometimes they just don't really play up to their potential here. And the only thing that kind of scares me, got Izzo coming off of 2 losses, a bitter loss against Michigan in their last game, coming back home now. They've been definitely killing the competition at home. That's something that scares me a little bit. They dominated Iowa, crushed Indiana at home. So it does worry me a little bit, Izzo coming off a couple bad games. You wonder if they really bounce back. And I think that's what he was telling me why the line will be so high, is because books expect a kind of a bounce back spot for Michigan State in this one.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I could see that coming off 2 tough losses. I agree.
Let's see other big games. Here's a game that's definitely going to be a game the public will be involved in, and I think it's going to be public on Kentucky. I think you may see some sharps on Alabama. He's telling me you're going to probably see Kentucky a double-digit favorite in this spot, maybe laying 10, 11 points, 12-point range against Alabama come tomorrow.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. I don't know. I would stay away. Kentucky, to me, is a very talented team, and I know they're against the spread record doesn't show it, but you know, when you're going on off of talent, when you're evaluating the numbers, their team is, you know, top 5 in the country, top 3 in the country. Bama's defense is top notch, but sometimes they have trouble scoring the ball. I don't know. I would think similar to that Florida State Duke game, that Alabama could stick close with Kentucky for a while, but I really like Kentucky. I would see them pulling away in the second half, coming close to covering that number.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with you there. I mean, I like Alabama, but they've shown me some spots, especially you got to win these conference home games. And they had a tough showing last night against Vanderbilt. Game a lot of sharp guys came in on Vanderbilt. And it cashed out, you know, and Alabama lost by 10 at home. You can't do that. Not in conference plays, too important in games. And that could be, I wonder if that's a game that kind of deflates this Alabama team. We kind of see them skid off. They've been a team I had circled as being a little bit overrated all year. I haven't seen them play against, come up and show up against big teams. Like they didn't even show up against Dayton, kind of dominated them earlier this year. Well, we've seen them lose to Mississippi State on the road, a tough game, but they were a favorite. We've seen them lose to get dominated by Kansas State on a neutral. I could see Kentucky as a talent, definitely agree with you. Kentucky has a talent to blow this thing open, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if Alabama's not putting the ball in the bucket. See any other big, looking at any other big games involving some big teams. Let's see. Well, here's a weird scheduling game. It's a team I've been riding this Tennessee team at home. They've been making me money at home. I bet them against Florida. I bet them the other time against, I think, Kentucky. I've been making money with Tennessee, and they got UConn traveling down there, which should be a definitely an interesting game, a weird scheduling spot. He's telling me you're going to see Kentucky, UConn, pretty much a short favorite, probably in the range of 3-4 points.
Well, yeah, that says a lot, that line right there. You know, just kind of reading the line and looking at the numbers. If the line comes out like that, you definitely got to lean Tennessee. Like you said, they've been a pretty good home team, and they're very undervalued because of some tough losses early in the year. I think they lost as a 10-point favorite twice early in the year. So definitely they lose some value and they lose some public love, and I definitely think that would be a strong lean Tennessee.
Yeah, definitely. I like Tennessee. It seems like the one thing I notice is it's the early games, the 12 o'clock games. Teams come in that building and they're kind of halfway sleeping. That's what happened with Florida and Kentucky. They just weren't there. This is a later game, though. It is a 4 o'clock game, but it's a weird scheduling spot for UConn in this spot here. So a non-conference game doesn't, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't mean as much, but I think it means a lot for Tennessee if they could come in here and knock off another top 25 team for their resume. Kind of could be a pretty motivated Tennessee team, and not that bad, not as bad as the record shows.
Yeah, exactly. You know, not that it doesn't matter for UConn, but they could use the excuse, hey, it's not a conference game, it's a weird game. You know, we'll get back out into conference where Tennessee, it would be a great victory on their resume for them. So you make a great point with that.
Here goes another game that's kind of, I guess you could say, it's going to be a pretty big game to see if the streak could go as far as Big East goes. Syracuse is traveling to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been very tough at home this year. Any chance that Notre Dame is the team to knock off Syracuse, or you think the Orange Machine just keeps plugging along here?
I would think the Orange keep plugging around. Notre Dame is a good home team, but their offense is not all that good. They don't have too many playmakers, and Syracuse just – they have a lot of good matchups when they face a team like Notre Dame as far as size inside and speed and shooting outside. I think Syracuse should have no problem with them.
Interesting here, Notre Dame, all five of their home games have gone under the total. Now, I know Syracuse could get it up and down the floor, and they got no problem scoring points. So kind of interested to see, does Notre Dame kind of show up, play some defense, or do they just get totally outmanned here? And, you know, we've seen them get outmanned by UConn a couple weeks ago. So same thing may be in store here on the home floor for Notre Dame in this spot. Another big game I guess we could talk about, Kansas-Texas, Big 12. We're going to have Kansas coming off a huge win. I kind of could see a flat spot coming off that huge win heading into Texas in this spot.
I agree. Do you have a projected line on that one?
He's telling me he's looking at, you're going to probably see Kansas in the range of 4-point favorite in this spot.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good letdown spot for to take the home dog. I agree. I would have to do a little more research on that. But yeah, like you said, after a win like that versus Baylor, now you're a road favorite. That's definitely something to look at.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a road favorite in a conference game like this off the huge win. Could be a little flat spot coming in here. Texas, usually a pretty good home team. They usually take care of business at home, coming off a couple of tough. They look good in the Kansas State road loss. I know Kansas State burned it up. They could have hit a couple free throws at the end of that game to seal a cover. But Texas kind of hung around in that game. So it should be an interesting game here, rivalry. And I guess that I'm trying to look to see any. Well, here's another weird scheduling game. Michigan going to Arkansas. That's kind of a weird scheduling spot for Michigan, going in there off a big win, playing Arkansas. I love this Michigan team. I love their coach. But this is a weird scheduling spot here. And he said this game may open close to around a pick 'em.
Wow, that's a very interesting line. You took the words right out of my mouth. I really like this Michigan team. you know, there's a fine line between letdown and building momentum. You know, I'm sure sometimes bettors or handicappers will say, hey, it's a letdown spot after the win, when the whole clubhouse and the whole team is thinking that's going to build momentum for the next game. And as a handicapper, sometimes you have to make the decision, and it can be a very fine line. And I think Michigan, to me, is on that side of the line of building momentum. I don't think Arkansas is that good. I don't think they have that much size. I'm more worried about the line if it does open them up as a pick 'em, you know, just based on numbers wise and situational spot. It would be a good spot for Arkansas. However, look at the teams. I don't know. I think Michigan's a better team.
I think Michigan's a better team as well. I definitely do. The only thing that I think it's going to be a great defensive game, because you look at this Arkansas team, they force about 17 turnovers a game. So they play, you know, they play some tough defense. So and Michigan's a great offensive team that doesn't turn the ball over. So I think this is going to be a game, may not have a wager on, but a game I'll definitely be watching. I think it's going to be probably an under-the-radar game. Not a lot of guys are going to be tuned into, but it should be a great game come for Saturday.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. And I guess that kind of wraps up the bigger. There's not too many. I mean, this may be a game you know some insight on. St. Mary's is playing Santa Clara. That's St. Mary's is in top 25 now. We all know, kind of a West Coast game. I don't know too much about Santa Clara, but you think any Santa Clara, any chance for an upset here as a home dog?
No, and I have this line being pretty big. Santa Clara is pretty bad. St. Mary's is a team that I like watching and like to back. I don't know if I'm going to back in this spot. It's probably going to be a pretty big line, so I would stay away. But I think St. Mary's could cover the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely could probably be a big favorite in this spot here. And I don't know too much about Santa Clara, so... But, yeah, that kind of wraps up what we – I think the bigger games at least. Well, there's one other one that's kind of big, I guess, as far as the SEC guys we could talk about. Mississippi State will be traveling. They're ranked now, as everybody knows. And they'll be traveling into Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt kind of finding their stride lately. You think Mississippi State has any shot at knocking off Vanderbilt in this spot here? And he's telling me, Vandy, despite the fact that Mississippi State is ranked and Vanderbilt isn't, we'll see Vanderbilt as a favorite in the spot.
I think Mississippi State is a great team, but any time you got a ranked team going against an unranked team and the unranked team is favored, like you were kind of hinting at right now, that says a lot. So I think Vanderbilt comes up at home pumped up for this game and gets the win. That being said, Mississippi State has some good road victories on their resume. So definitely be worth a look if they're getting, you know, more than 5 or 6 points.
He's talking around that range, just exactly what you said. He's talking about, you probably see Vanderbilt opening up around 5-6 points in this spot. So they'll be almost a 3-possession favorite against as a non-ranked team and against a ranked team. And we all know, and Vegas usually is a lot sharper than lines makers are usually a lot sharper than the guys who make the poll rankings. So I gotta, like you said, you gotta side on the Vegas side. They know what they're doing and who they're making the favorite in this spot. And that pretty much wraps up our podcast, bro. Unless you got any other games you see on Saturday, any first half leans. I know we don't have lines available, but if there's any teams playing or anything else you wanna hop in with before we shut down the podcast for today.
No, actually, I don't have much for Saturday yet as far as halves. Make sure to check me out on Twitter. I always post my plays on there if you guys are interested.
Yeah, definitely. It's Chad Nove, 5'9", on Twitter. Check him out. And he always gives out his plays for free every day. And guy's a winner. So, Chad, definitely appreciate you coming on the podcast again. And people, definitely go follow him on Twitter and follow his plays. He got his first halves and all his plays. Guys, definitely, I wouldn't have him on the podcast. He grinds out winners, like, you know, probably better than 98% of the other guys on Twitter, I have to say.
No, yeah, thank you very much. I'm very blessed to hear that. I'm blessed to be on the little podcast here. And like you said, I just hope that people are making money and cashing tickets.
Nice. Keep it up, brother. All right, man. So we'll probably be back. We'll do something next week for some basketball. And then definitely a couple of weeks, we'll see you all for the big Super Bowl podcast.
Nice. Sounds great. Good luck, everybody.
All right, brother. Good luck.
All right, man. Thanks.